NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say that we have two sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, and Avemco Insurance. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead.
Well, hello there, Todd.
And hello there, John.
How are you today?
Can't complain at all.
Yep, me neither. Weather's been nice, sort of nice. It's warm. We have an interesting one today because it touches on a subject that I saw occur many, many times at the NTSB and had sort of forgotten about it until a friend of mine queried me about an accident, a recent event. And I went back in and looked, and it happened to involve a Mooney that had a door open in flight. And that triggered a lot of brain cells. How many times that I have seen this before at the NTSB? And someone reported with not being an accident, just reported as an event. But others that turned into a disaster, mainly because of inappropriate actions by the pilot. And I thought that would be a good one to talk about, since you're newly returned to flying, and we can talk about what you see in training and what you've been talked about. So why don't you cue it up for us?
Well, in this particular one, this is a 2024 event that happened on March 25th. This was in St. Augustine, Florida, involving a Mooney M20 Kilo version, and both people on board were fatally injured. And this is a preliminary report, so we don't have the final report. But other than the fact that there was a door opening, this seemed to be a flight that didn't have much going on with it, emergency-wise. There was a audio from the airplane to air traffic control, and the pilot had reported the door had come open. And they asked if he was going to declare an emergency. The pilot said no. He was just wanted to land and close the door. Seems reasonable. Continue to fly the airplane, land the airplane, close the door. Now, for reasons that are not explained, because this is a preliminary report and they basically just had the facts and data of the fact that they took off, went around for a while and crashed, this aircraft crash, both people were killed. Now, there's nothing to indicate there was anything else seriously wrong with the airplane. Granted, there was the complicating issue of you had two people in the airplane. It's unclear whether or not the other person was a passenger who knew nothing about aviation, might have been freaking out, or a passenger who knew something about aviation was probably possibly helping. But I said to myself, all right, is this a Mooney thing? Because I know doors open all the time on airplanes. So I did literally a 10-minute search on the NTSB database looking for other Mooney events, and I found several. And what struck me was I found several in a few minutes, and these reports were very, very short. And I'm thinking, it seems an obvious thing. The door opens. Nothing else is wrong with the airplane. The airplane has an accident and crashes. And I thought, who better to ask than you, John, who has probably seen a bunch of these coming, you know, through the door at the board when you were there. Do you see a bunch of these back in the day?
All kinds. Single engine, twin engine airplanes. Mostly all piston power. I think the doors probably improved because turbine-powered airplanes typically are pressurized. so the doors are probably more robust. But yes, I saw quite a few of them. And actually, when you brought this up, and I started thinking about that, about the ones that I saw, it's a wonder why the NTSB hasn't elevated this process of this problem of doors opening in flight. You know, are they inappropriately closed, or is the door designs a little bit on the weak side, making them difficult to close or difficult to identify properly if they're closed? So there's issues there that the board probably should have taken up. But while I was there, it was just sort of like a routine, oh, another door. You know, just ho-hum, almost. And I think maybe that's something the board should consider. In fact, I'll send an email just suggesting that. But the events, enough occurred that, looking back on it, that I should have noticed it myself and said something then.
Let's take you through a small sample of these, and a small sample because I could have had a much bigger sample. These were all Moonies. And here's one that was from the previous year, July 2023. There was a flight instructor event. They're departing the airport. Cabin door suddenly opens. Now, the flight instructor, presumably, is someone who is a commercial rated pilot, and obviously a CFI or a CFII rated pilot. Someone who's had a few hours in an airplane. Probably knows the airplane very well. And flight instructor tried to close the door, but couldn't get it to close properly. Decided to return to the airport. During the landing approach, the pilot was distracted and contacted several approach lights. They're both seriously injured. Now, there's nothing in this report, which unfortunately was only a paragraph of analysis. Apparently, the only thing that was mentioned wrong with this airplane was the door was open. This was an instructor pilot who presumably was the pilot in command during this situation, and the pilot got distracted. Distracted presumably by the door, the wind noise, whatever the case may be. And the probable cause doesn't give us a lot of help here. The pilot's failure to maintain the proper glide path during final approach, which resulted in a collision with approach lights short of the runway. Contributing was the pilot's distraction due to the cabin door opening. Okay, let's go to another one. Also in a Mooney, previous years. And by the way, all of these will be available on the page that has this podcast episode. So you can download all these relatively short NTSB reports yourself and come to your own conclusion. They were in the traffic pattern. They did a low approach to runway, began to climb to an altitude of 50 to 100 feet all over the runway. Just as the gear was coming up, baggage door fully opened. This is a baggage door, not really in the reach of the pilot. So it's not something where the pilot's trying to reach over and close the door. This was fairly low altitude when it happened. Another witness reported that as the airplane was at an altitude of 200 to 400 feet along the extended center line, the right wing dropped. Airplane appeared to enter a spin, which continued until it hit the ground. Fairly short report. Actually, it had three paragraphs of information. Probable cause, pilot's failure to maintain airspeed during initial climb, which resulted in an aerodynamic stall spin. Contributing was the pilot's likely distraction due to the opening of the baggage door. All right. We're seeing a pattern here. Door opens, there's a distraction. Toxicology results identified low levels of both amphetamine and diphenhydramine. I'm not sure what that is, but I'm sure it's not good for flying, in the pilot's cavity blood. The reason for the pilot's use of amphetamine cannot be determined from the available information. Personal health records cannot be obtained. So, was this an increased risk for distraction? NTSB didn't come to a conclusion. However, the one conclusion I can come to is having a baggage door open on top of everything else going on with this person and with this flight is not a normal thing, will cause distraction. One more. This is from 1997, going back a bit, but the same pattern emerges. This is another Mooney. Pilot reported cabin door popped open during cruise flight about 10 minutes after takeoff. Airplane began to buffet and vibrate. Wind noise in the cabin made communication difficult. And the pilot's 12-year-old son, who was seated in the right front seat, became excited and scared. Again, this is something where I thought about this myself. Typically, I fly with another pilot. my instructor or someone else in my flying community. Someone who's familiar with how airplanes work, familiar with the procedures, and might be more than a little bit familiar with what do you do when things are not normal. Now, a 12-year-old child, I don't care how excited they are about being in an airplane and how much they know about airplanes. This is a minor child, a 12-year-old who has this kind of experience, door popping open in flight, will have a different reaction from a 21-year-old or 50-year-old. In other words, the pilot flying this aircraft has two things to worry about: the airplane and the response, the responsiveness of the passenger to taking instruction or to calming down, etc. And further on, it says, this is a pilot who was unable to activate the runway lights. So presumably this was at night. This was a Unicom frequency was using to activate the lights, which is normal, which implies that this was an untowered airport. So we have a situation, unusual situation, doors open, excited passenger or a passenger who might be agitated because of what's going on, the added risk of flying at night and flying in a place where there's no air traffic control. Probable cause: failure to activate the runway, activate the runway lights, which led to a selection of a closed or abandoned runway for the landing. Factors leading to the accident were the unlatched cabin door and the lack of conditions of lighting conditions at dusk. And as a lot of you know, dusk is possibly the most challenging time to fly, much more so than full on night or broad daylight, because, and John, you probably have gone through this many times in accidents, so I'm not going to try and explain this. Why is dusk so darn challenging for pilots flying at that time of the day?
One of the reasons, one of the main reasons, is the sky is still bright, right? And so your eyes are adjusted for a brighter scene, if you will. And then when you try to look down rather briefly into the areas that are shadowed, darker areas, you don't get enough time for your eyes to adjust. If you ever looked at it, and it's funny this we're doing this, because just yesterday I was doing that on myself to see how fast my eyes adjusted from total darkness to very bright surroundings. And I was trying to figure out how many seconds it took to do that. And I wasn't very successful in getting a good figure on it, but it was something like 7 seconds for my eyes to adjust to open up wide enough so that you see more of the darkness. And that's probably the number one reason. You know, your eyes will close up pretty quick when they get bright, things get bright, but they don't open up as quick. And that adjustment time can become critical. Things can happen in 5 seconds. A lot of things can happen when you're flying, you know, or going fast in the car, going on an interstate where you get the sun. In fact, you may have noticed that the highway administrations and this group they have that sets the standards for highways has, in the recent past, put procedures and processes in place for when you're entering a tunnel, the first several hundred feet of the tunnel have double or triple the brightness of the rest of the tunnel. And that's the reason. When you're coming out of a sunlit, a very bright driving area, and you're driving into a tunnel which is not very brightly lit, there was a lot of problems in the very beginning of the tunnel travel. You know, rear-ending cars, just a lot of accidents. So they came out with a new standard for tunnels that has that first several hundred feet really, really bright, right? And so that you can still see. And it gradually gets dimmer as you travel on. So there is actually a standard for that. But we don't have that in every situation. And certainly we don't have that in aviation. It would be almost impossible to do anything like that.
Now, this is not a show about driving safety, but you raise a good point there. I happen to live in Seattle for over 20 years and drove all over Seattle. And we have several tunnels going through, one main tunnel going on Interstate 90, going over Lake Washington. And I love to wear my sunglasses when I drive. And I had to get into the habit almost reflexively. It's like, okay, I'm about to enter the tunnel. Not only do I have to go from brightness to darkness, And they do have the lights in the beginning of the tunnel. I would also switch my glasses to my regular glasses because even with the brighter lights at the beginning of the tunnel, with my sunglasses on, first couple of times I freaked myself out. I couldn't see a thing. Now, if you don't normally drive through tunnels, it can really surprise you. Now, let's go back to this last accident, another kind of surprise that might happen to someone. This was, again, the NTSB didn't have a lot of detail in the report, and you can read the report yourself. They did say there were four people on board the airplane. They did say at least one of them was a 12-year-old who was sitting in the seat next to the door, and there are two other passengers on board. This was someone who was a commercial pilot, multi-engine rated, and I believe the person was also a flight instructor. So again, like the other one I mentioned, this is a flight instructor who had an incident with, that involved an open door. So you're thinking, this is someone who has experience. This is someone who's familiar with flying, familiar with the airplane, not a casual pilot, yet they had this happen to them. Now I said to myself when I was looking through this, have I reviewed the procedures for my own plane that I fly, the Cessna 172, of what to happen when a door opens? The answer was no, I haven't, because my thought was, okay, if I have a door opening in flight, depending on where the door opens, when the door opens, I already have a plan in place. If it's before takeoff and I'm slow enough where I can stop on the runway, anything that's unusual, I don't care what it is, I pull back on the throttle and I slow down and I taxi off and get things straight and deal with it later. No problem. If it happens in flight with my flight instructor, again, we would probably work this out together. It's like, A, continue to fly the airplane and then assess the situation. And depending on the situation, I wouldn't ask my instructor if I'm the pilot flying. I'd ask my instructor to try and close the door if it's on the instructor's side. And I would have the instructor take over for me if it were on my side and I'm trying to close the door. In other words, I don't want to be manipulating the controls and yanking on the door. If I'm solo, same sort of thing. Figure out what's going on, get the airplane stable. Very carefully try and see if I can close it. If I can't do it on the first attempt, hey, I'm calling air traffic control saying, hey, Cessna 123, I've got an issue. I'd like to return to whatever airport. In other words, I'm not going to try and solve the problem. And personally, the only time I've come close to this was way back then. This is like 40 years ago when I was flying in the Aero Club when I was in the Air Force at Edwards Air Force Base. We had, let's just say we had a veteran Cessna 172 that was in the Aero Club. I have two or three people on board with me. Nighttime flight, we're going to have a little fun flying around the base. Put on the throttle, I'm rolling down the runway, and the oil access door flaps open. So I'm on the runway. I had this big flapping sound going on. I'm thinking, okay, I'm probably not going to fly tonight. So let me just ease up, slow down this airplane, taxi off, and close this door. Now, it turns out after we taxied, stopped, and fixed the door, we did fly that night. But my mentality was, this is unusual. Let me slow down. So, again, that's without me reviewing the pilot operating handbook or reviewing emergency and non-emergency procedures. That's just my common sense I've developed over time. But if you're out there in general aviation land, especially if you're flying an unpressurized airplane, like John mentioned, where the doors might not be as secure as on a pressurized aircraft, you got to ask yourself, if this happens to me, what am I going to do?
It should be part of your pre-planning for your flight. And people are going to, I know right off the bat, somebody's going to email me and say, we can't prepare for everything. I'll tell you what, you should be preparing for more than I see people preparing for today. All right. So with doors coming open in flight, based upon the little bit of research we did, I think we should put that in our repertoire of things we think about before we take off. That pre-flight has got to be thorough. And if the door has been opened, especially a baggage door or the service doors, I mean, we open the oil service door. There's a lot of doors that we open with loose fasteners. We should be on a walk around. Should be the last thing we do before we get in the airplane. And we should be making sure that all those fasteners are properly secured. And I noticed walking around at Oshkosh this year. Just I noticed it, and then I started to look for it. Right? Somebody had on the GA side, I was walking around all the airplanes looking at them. And that somebody had taken a magic marker and on the Zeus fasteners, it's drew a straight line across them, right? Which is, you know, they're all supposed to be facing horizontally anyway. But this person drew the line through the fastener so he could tell when it was locked. And that's a good idea. And I started to notice, and, you know, I maybe looked at 50 airplanes walking around. And it was probably three that I saw that on. That's just a good idea. Just to help you visually when you do a walk around. You know, I tell people, if you look at mechanics, many mechanics, even in the daylight, will do a walk around with their flashlight shining on the airplane. And that's, and people, you know, you look at it first, you say, that's crazy. But really what it is focusing your eyes. Your eyes are going to follow the flashlight and you're going to focus and look on that. Because if you can walk around an airplane quickly, you're not noticing everything. All the little things are escaping you. Sometimes the big things are escaping you. And I raise that issue often with the business aircraft I see where the business pilots don't do a very good walk around. And I'm not picking on business aviation. It's only because the location where I have access to go sit and watch all the airplanes come and go, it has a lot of business traffic. So I see more of them than I see GA pilots. So, you know, we need to have a good routine on our pre-flights to make sure the airplane is in condition to go fly. But we also need to make sure that in our pre-flight that we do on ourselves in our pre-planning, that we take into consideration unusual events and how we're going to handle them or how we're going to be aware of them before they happen. And open doors is one good one. You know, watching your fuel load. It's still amazing how many airplanes run out of fuel today on routine flights, not getting stuck up in the air and weather, not having to divert to an airport that wasn't planned on and too far away. I'm talking about, call it, it's the wrong word probably, it's going to say routine flight, running out of gas on a routine flight, but it's damn close to that, that we don't take into consideration our fuel load adequately before we leave. I mean, there's a lot of accidents that could be prevented just by a lot of proper actions by the pilot before we take off. And doors are one of them. Well, I think we talked that to death.
And rather than rather than giving my second to last word of my opinion, I said to myself, let me do 30 seconds of research. Can I find some common sense advice I can give everybody for the show? And within 30 seconds, I did. ALPA has a page about what to do for door opens in flight. And I'll just read you a piece of it. And there will be a link to this on the page for this episode. For door opens in flight, particularly on takeoff, ignore it. Fly the airplane. Stay in the pattern, and then land and close the door. Kind of what I did in my situation. I didn't take off. I stayed on the runway and then stopped and closed the door. If for some reason you can't return and land, depart the pattern normally, get into straight and level flight at a safe altitude, and check traffic. Then think about closing the door. Even at altitude, this can be hazardous because of the distraction and inadvertent control movement caused by reaching around or across the cockpit, especially if your vision is diverted. Okay, great common sense. We have a link to this on the page. And again, prepare for anything. And this is something that's not rare. This is something that is all too common. So be careful out there.
You know, and I'll close with one commercial aircraft that I knew very well. It was an Electra 188, four-engine turboprop. And the air start connection to start the engines is in the back of the airplane towards the tail. And after you disconnect the air hose, you close up the hatch. And it's a simple door with a single latch on it, push latch. They take off from, I knew the airplane personally, worked on it repeatedly. The airplane was in Nevada. They took off, the door wasn't closed. It's sitting there banging away like crazy. Three guys in the cockpit, It's a freighter. Divert, they get their attention diverted, fly the airplane into the ground with three guys in the cockpit. So it can happen to anyone. I mean, you've got AOPA's advice is well taken. You got to fly the airplane. You know, you don't try to fix things in flight. We have commercial airplanes that have had problems of all kinds where they tried to fix it in flight or identify it in flight, and so busy trying to identify it, they crash. The L-1011 and Eastern Airlines and the Everglades is one. I mean, we lost a wide-body airplane because of a peanut light in the cockpit. A DC-8 in Seattle that gave us CRM when they ran out of fuel, that the co-pilot and the flight engineer kept telling the captain, fuel, fuel, and he kept ignoring them, trying to figure out why he couldn't get three greens on his landing gear, and flew the airplane out of gas and crashed, killed a bunch of people. So it's happened from little airplanes all the way up to big airplanes, right? So it's a message that doesn't seem to sink in. And let's hope that today, just us raising this today, will help some pilots just think about that the next few times they fly. Be aware that a door could open. Do you even know how many doors you have on the airplane? You know, some guys go out to these single engine airplanes, they may have a baggage door on the airplane that you don't even know about. Might be a door in the rear. And that comes down to the pre-flight. All of these things fit together like a hand in a glove. And until we start dealing with them like they're all connected to one another, and we need to pay attention to each and every one of them, I think we're going to continue to have problems like this. And I'll use that as my last word. Thank you, Todd. Thank all of you for listening. And please, please fly safely.
Thank you for checking out our show. We really value our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you and how much you like it. So please give us 5 stars in your podcast platform.
We want to keep in contact with you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetydetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on YouTube, we're really working on growing the channel, and it helps if you all send in comments. Please do that. And we read all the comments.
And be sure to subscribe. Remember, if you're in the market for aviation insurance, you can save 5% with Avemco just by mentioning our show. Visit them at www.avemco.com. That's it for this episode of the Flight Safety Detective. Until the next episode, fly safe.